welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful Saturday, April the 29th, 2017. It's going quick, isn't it? Wow. Everything just seems to be moving along here. I'm very grateful to be with you. We're going to look at, well, what's right, whatever that is. And everybody has their own idea of right. So we'll talk a little bit about it. I want to remind you that these radio programs are here simply because of the generosity of people who are extremely kind, generous, considerate. My sponsors, they make these programs possible by being sponsors and helping me pay for airtime of these programs as well as our TV. And if you go to the website at aspire.org and go to media, you will see all sorts of TV programs and radio programs that are made available through you sponsorship. And I hope that if you're enjoying any or all of these, that you too will become a sponsor and help us. We need all the help we can get. A message like the one I offer is not popular all the time, as you might imagine, and it's a little off the wall. So I hope that you're seeing the point of it all, and you will become a sponsor. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see support. And if you click on that, there is a little menu that will come down and say, why support Aspire? If you click that, it'll help you understand where your donations go, they're tax deductible, and how to become a sponsor right from that page alone. And that will tell you everything you probably need to know, but we're afraid to ask. What does the word right mean? Right. Everybody wants to be right. A lot of our country, a lot of our lives are based on the idea of thinking that we're right. And a lot of our folly in this world is based on self-righteousness. So I looked up the word right for you. Morally good, justified, or acceptable. True or correct as a fact. Then it gets down to correct in one's opinion or judgment. That's a real important one for a lot of people, this judgment thing. So this just goes on and on and on, this morally right thing. So I thought we'd take a look at right, because I get all sorts of questions on right. And I think it's kind of interesting because these questions have to do with typically right and wrong, good and bad. So let's get into it. The first question comes from Kay, our dear friend in Los Angeles, who, by the way, and I want to thank Kay, is just become a sponsor. And I'm very grateful after all these years. And I appreciate it, Kay. Thank you. First question she asks, I never know what is right. Yet in my life, I'm doing well. Is that a sign of right? K. No. Okay, next question. No. No, it's not a sign. What is going on in the world can be interpreted in many different ways. And people like to interpret everything the way they can see it in their mentality. Now, most of us, sad to say, suffer from the old pedestrian mentality. I know I certainly do. And when you start thinking in terms of proof of rightness, proof of correctness, proof of whatever, and look to the world and think, well, things come easy to me. I have enough money to do whatever I want to do. I have everything I need in this world. I must be right. Ease and comfort and size do not have anything to do with the significance of what it means to be right. Absolutely nothing. And there is no right. And of course, that would create duality, and that duality is something that really causes us a great deal of pain and sorrow in our life. It really does. So if you want to look at it from the point of view of that, then you can see that rightness has nothing to do with anything in our life. I can be correctly doing something that's in and of the world, let's say. You know, I can punish someone for something that I believe they've done that is wrong. And that would not mean a hill of beans anywhere. Not anywhere, not any way, not anything in my spiritual life. There is no right, no wrong, no good, nor bad. You have to see things beyond the small box. And if you can see things beyond the small box, then you're in good shape. You start to change the way you live on the inside, and that becomes very, very beautiful. But if I don't do that, if I just go off the cuff with everything, and I start thinking that rightness is something that I believe in that is some emotional deal or some moral deal that I have, Kay, then my rightness slips into opinion. And what is right in one situation on this earth is not always right in all situations on this earth. I guess we've found that out. So it's really hard to determine. I will give you a criteria for it that goes beyond the mediocrity of Greg Penn mine. So maybe this will help you just a wee bit here, okay? So here it is. You do everything you do in accord with love. Now that is extremely important in the accord that is love, in the vibration that is love. I don't do things based on the idea of Greg's ambition or Greg's pride or Greg's vanity or Greg's whatever. You just don't do that. You live according to the means of the heart, the way of the heart. And if you can do that, if you can live in the means of the heart, in the way of the heart, then you will find yourself being unconscionably kind and generous. And this really promotes a great deal of, of havoc in a person's mind. People don't like to be kind and generous. They can't forgive because they don't have the mechanism for it, because forgiveness, true authentic forgiveness, is not a quality of Greg Penn mechanism, the way he thinks, the way he believes, the way he interprets things based on fear and hate. It just doesn't work like that for him. It doesn't work like that for anybody with that is working upon themselves. The mechanism of their mind just cannot understand the nature of the heart, and that's the issue. So, right? If I am always looking for right, and what is right, meaning bringing forth what I think is good, I will never know the truth. And the truth is something that occurs beyond right and wrong, good and bad. I have to want to know the truth. I want to be able to live the truth. Now, if I can do that, if I can live that truth, which is always forgiveness, mercy, and kindness, compassion, then I have something very beautiful, Kay. But most people find it humiliating to be kind. I know that sounds insane, but it's true. Many people find it humiliating to be kind. And this is really devastating to the ego, the vanity, the pride of us. We just can't handle it. And it causes us to be all sorts of different things, none of which are good for our authentic nature. So, you say, I never know what is right. Well, that is good. Don't know. Don't be weighing things in the course of your life based on what your human mind and your human body and your human emotions think of as right. People will say, trust your body and all of that. Well, it depends. It depends on where my body is and where I am with my body. Your body came from people, from genetics. I don't know how you can trust that. You have to trust your heart, your authentic heart, not your human heart. The trouble with all of us is that we have not developed the heart. We have not lived in the heart and for the heart. We have lived for things that our human hearts want. And as long as I live in that human heartness, as it were, I'm going to miss the entire sense of my life. I will never know the totality of my living. I will only do things that gratify me. And that, of course, causes great sorrow and pain in my life. So there you are. It's really simple. Want nothing with all of your heart. As the Buddha said, if you want nothing with all of your heart, you will know. You will know. Trust me, you really will. And as far as rights concerned, you won't care about that, because the only thing that matters in this world is love. Thank you, Kay. Oh, I hope that helped, and I am deeply grateful for your kindness. Namaste. Next one comes from Jack in Las Vegas, Nevada. I believe I know what is right, but it seems that things are not right in the world. What to do with all of this, as you always say? Is it right to be right? Is everybody else just wrong? Jack. It is hard, isn't it, Jack, to see the simple, the whole effort of living, the whole shamatha, as I always say. It's hard for us to understand the nature of our life. We look at the world and we see the world the way it is, how people believe in certain things and don't believe in this and believe in that, and cause themselves a great deal of pain and sorrow. You think you're right. You say, I believe I know what is right. Well, what would that be? What would be right? It would probably be, now I'm going to, this is terrible what I'm doing right now, but for the sake of argument here, just kind of be all right with this. I'm sure you think you know what is morally right, okay? I'm sure you do. I'm sure this has to do with some kind of moralistic sense of rightness that you have. But the truth of the matter is, right is a point of view. It is a perception based on the enigmas of how we live our life and what we believe our life should or should not be. So we live our life according to the idea of right. But if you go deep inside yourself, if you penetrate beyond your mind, your body, your emotions, you will see through that perception that kindness and compassion replace right. That love replaces right and wrong, good and bad. You will start to see the meaning and the significance of everything that perpetrates real, real mercy. Mercy is a quality that we develop out of a sense of consciousness, out of meditation. It is such a divine quality in all of us, and it lives in every one of us. But the mind, with its genetic patterns, is always scooting it out, saying, no, 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 can't be this, can't be that. Because in the bottom line, we are working from our DNA that is absolutely inaugurated through our genetics. So we're thinking about our genetic pull all the time and our DNA. And as we're thinking of our DNA and our genetics and how they interpret, we start to realize, my God, what is right? What is wrong? What is good? What is bad? And then it starts to become very clear, especially when our karma is dictating our life, that maybe what we call is right for us, but maybe not. Maybe it's my perception. Everything in this world goes along for a while in the form that it goes along in. Like, there'll be good times, there'll be difficult times, and they all have their time limit, as it were. Good times turn into bad. Bad times often turn into good. Blah, blah, blah. Everything's in flux. Everything's in a form of transformation in this lifetime. Everything. So when you start looking at your life and you start looking at the meaning of your life, you can start to really realize, if you're careful, if you're conscious, what it means to awaken to the truth. And the truth of life is love. That's all it is. But it's not the love that human beings get involved in. It's not the love that human beings like to think of as warm and cozy. This love is far deeper, far greater, far more, shall we say, imaginative. It is creative, and it comes from the nature of something that is far more important than Greg Penn's desires and his beliefs. So when you sit with yourself, Jack, you can see that it isn't right to be right, as it were. Being right to be right is not going to help the world. There are many people who have come into this world to touch us, to help us, people who came to show us the way, but we didn't get it. We just didn't get it. And why didn't we get it? Because within ourselves, we weren't ready to let go of what we needed to let go of in order to accept what needed to be accepted as love. Love is difficult for us because it's unconditional, because it has no limitations to it. And yet, to enter into love, I have to be purified, as it were. I have to be willing to let go of my right, my wrong, my good, my bad, all of that. I have to be willing just to let it all go. And if I'm not willing to let it go, then nothing of the other shore can reach me. Nothing of love can truly reach me. So I sit in fear and want and desire, and I miss the whole opportunity of what it means to be in love, to be the essence of it all, the essence of love itself. We just don't do that. We have a very difficult time with love. We really do. And because we have a difficult time with love, and because we make love be a lot of things it's not, we just don't have the insight to let love live me. We just don't have that. We're afraid. We're afraid that somehow in love, somehow in letting go, that we're going to be, I don't know, maybe forgotten, maybe that love won't fulfill us or be real or whatever. We have all sorts of superstitions about it, but there it is. These are all the ways of the heart that frighten us very much. I say, don't let things frighten you. Let love live you. Let love live you. And that's the only rightness there is, the only thing to be, shall we say, concerned about when it comes to the meaning of our life. Let love live you. Jack, don't worry. Don't obsess. Take a deep breath. Feel the breath come in. Feel the breath go out. Watch the breath. Keep focused on the breath. If you meditate, if you can stay focused on your meditation and breathe in and breathe out of the heart, into the heart, out of the heart, into the heart, you will eventually realize what I'm talking about. It's a great awakening. It really is. It's absolutely beautiful. I hope you give yourself that chance. Please forgive me. Namaste. You know, I can talk about this stuff for years, all, you know, about what's right, what's good and bad, and dualistic thinking and all the stuff that we like to do. But in the bottom line, the measure of it all is, will I meditate? Will I breathe? Will I watch my breath? Will I change? Will I mature? You know, that's the only thing that matters. The last question. And this is from Gabe. And he does not tell me where he lives. You make me feel wrong at times, Greg, when I listen to you. I think it's I have it all thought out, and then I realize after listening to you, I don't. Can you help me? What is right? Just make it clear, Gabe. I hope to make it clear, Gabe. Forgive me for my confusing you. I don't mean to convolute you. I really don't. So here it is. I will give it to you as Jesus gave it, as Buddha gave it, as Lao Tzu gave it. What is right is love. Period. Now, finding out what love is, that's another thing. To find out, to understand the nature of love, you have to be very open-minded. You have to be very broad in your perceptions. You have to go out of the box and into the heart. And if you can go out of the box and into the heart, then you have something very blessed, very beautiful. So there's the key. There's the essence of it all. If you seek love over hate, if you seek love over thought, if you seek love over logic, if you can seek love over the idea of right and wrong, good and bad, you have come to the place of being unconscionably beautiful. You will know the way of your heart. You will follow the way of your heart. It will be very clear. It is very clear to follow the way of the heart. It is not emotional. It is not promising you nirvana. It isn't giving you everything you want. It isn't about any of those things. When you go into love, you see the bigger picture of life itself. It is in that bigger picture that we find significance in our life. Most people don't care much about love or life or any of it. They just don't care. They don't see it as being very important. But I say to you, it is extremely important. And if you can allow love to penetrate beyond your ideas and ideals, your fears, everything, you will come to a place where you will feel that presence of something so beautiful. And it lives in every single person. It is so beautiful that you will never, ever go back to the old ways again of thinking and living. You just won't. It's just too beautiful. So think about it. Let love live you. And should you allow for that experience to live in you, to live as you, you will find that the mind is a tedious thing. The mind and the body and the emotions have their own agenda, their own mechanism. You don't need that mechanism and you don't need that agenda. All you need, as the Beatles said, is love. And it is from there that everything that is beautiful ever happens to any of us anyway. I hope that helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something that I can be of service to you, please come to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org, and you will, when you get there, you'll see media. Pull down the media button. You'll see Satsang with Siraj. That be me. And you can email me from that page or just email me at greg@aspire.org. It's that easy. greg@aspire.org. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. Please forgive me. Namaste.